Behold the heart which has so loved mankind that it has spared nothing, even to the point of exhausting and consuming itself, to testify to its love. And yet in return I receive from the greater part of humanity only ingratitude, irreverence, and sacrilege, and coldness and indifference for me in the sacrament of my love. These are the words that our Lord Jesus spoke to a French nun more than 350 years ago, as he extended his Sacred Heart to her in his proffered hand. Today, my friends, we celebrate the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the patronal feast of our parish. Our Lord himself is the one who asked for a feast to be instituted in honor of his Sacred Heart when he confided a series of private revelations to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque over a period of 2 years, from 1673 to 75. Today, then, I want to speak to you about the message of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the meaning and purpose of today's feast by saying something about four disciples of Jesus who in the course of the Church's history have been called the greatest disciples of Jesus' Sacred Heart. First, the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God. Second, the Apostle St. John, also known as the Beloved Disciple. Third, St. Gertrude the Great. And finally, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, whom our Lord chose in the 17th century to be the Apostle of his Sacred Heart. Even though the lives of these disciples spanned a period of 1,700 years, all four of them throughout their earthly lives remained intimately united to the heart of Jesus Christ, and all received a very particular grace, a grace that is open to us all, namely to rest near the heart of Jesus, there to learn the secrets of his Sacred Heart. First of all, the disciple nearest and dearest to the heart of Jesus is his own mother Mary, the Virgin Mother of God. Mary was the first to experience the pulsating heart of Jesus because, after all, he spent 9 months in the tabernacle of her womb. Scripture says that Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb at the very moment she said yes to God's invitation to become the mother of his Son. We can be certain that from that time on until she gave birth, Mary felt the movement of her unborn son within her and was very much aware of his tiny beating heart. We can also be sure that after he was born, she often rested her head, as all mothers do, upon her child's breast and listened to his pulsating heart. Jesus would spend but 33 years upon this earth, 30 of those years in a hidden life with his mother in Nazareth. And when his public ministry began, Mary followed her son. In fact, Mary would follow her son all the way to Calvary. It was there at the foot of the cross that Mary offered her second fiat, her second yes to God, as she beheld the cruel death of her son. At that moment, the prophetic words which Simeon had once spoken to Mary in the temple were fulfilled, when he said, "A sword of sorrow will pierce your heart." Praise be the Immaculate Heart of the woman who gave birth to so great a son, and praise be the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ. From her place in heaven, Mary's mission now is the same as it was throughout her earthly life, namely to lead us to Jesus, her Son. The second great disciple of our Lord's Sacred Heart is the one known to us as the Beloved Disciple, the Apostle John. Of the 12 men whom our Lord called to be his apostles, John was the youngest, but also the one closest and most faithful to him. We see how deep was the friendship between Jesus and John on the night before our Savior died. When at the Last Supper, John reclined next to Jesus at table, leaning against the Master's heart. Like Mary before him, John heard our Lord's heart beating. And who knows what secrets were confided to him in that special moment of grace. No doubt this is why John, alone among the 12, was able to cast human fear aside and follow the Master all the way to Calvary. John, alone among the 12, stood beneath the cross of Jesus. And he alone describes the moment when the heart of Christ was pierced by the soldier's lance, and blood and water flowed from his open side. My friends, this is the life-giving water of baptism, the saving blood of the Eucharist. In that moment, the Sacred Heart of Jesus was made known to the whole world, and the prophetic words of Isaiah, which we sang in our responsorial psalm today, were fulfilled. You will draw water with joy from the springs of his salvation. The third great disciple of our Lord's Sacred Heart is a woman who lived in the 13th century, St. Gertrude, born in Germany more than 800 years ago. Gertrude was a Benedictine nun, a contemplative and a mystic, who was extraordinarily gifted with knowledge of the heart of Christ in prayer. At the age of 26, she began to receive a series of visions that would last until her death. In the year 1282, on the 27th of December, the feast day of the Apostle John, Gertrude received a visit from the risen Lord. Our Lord offered her a special gift. He invited her, just as John had been invited 13 centuries before, to recline at his breast and listen to the secrets of his heart. Gertrude was utterly transformed by this experience. Her knowledge of Jesus and her comprehension of his love grew immensely from this time on. In the course of that mystical experience, Gertrude also saw the Apostle John standing next to our Lord. She asked John why he had not written in his gospel of the mysteries confided to him as he reclined against the heart of Jesus. And the disciple whom Jesus loved said to her, "I am saving this revelation for a time when the world has grown cold to God's love, for a time when the world has forgotten God." That time of coldness, of indifference, of hostility to Jesus, of which John spoke, arrived some four centuries later in the 17th century. At that time, France was in the grip of the Jansenist heresy, which denied the love and mercy of God. In addition, a new age, the age of secular atheism, was about to dawn. It was once again on the feast day of the beloved disciple John, on the 27th of December, 1673, that our Lord appeared to a cloistered nun while she was at prayer. Our Lord granted her, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, the same privilege which he had granted to Gertrude, the same grace which he had extended to John, the very gift that was given to his own mother when he was a child. That is, to recline at his breast and feel the beating of his heart. Margaret Mary describes the experience in this way. "One day when I was praying before the Blessed Sacrament, I felt myself so penetrated by our Lord's presence that I lost all thought of myself and abandoned my soul to him, and surrendered to the power of his love. He bade me rest for a long time at his sacred breast and disclosed to me the mysteries of his sacred heart. He said, "My heart is so inflamed with love for men that the flames of its burning charity can no longer be contained within. My love must be spread abroad and made known to humanity so that sinners may be sanctified and saved from eternal perdition." Our Lord then appointed Margaret Mary to be the apostle of his sacred heart. In succeeding apparitions, Jesus showed her his heart in this manner. It was set upon a bed of flames, yet not consumed, because the fire was the fire of God's love. The wound made by the soldier's lance on Calvary was clearly visible so that an infinite ocean of love and mercy could flow from his wounded side. A crown of thorns representing the bitterness of man's sins encircled his heart, and a cross ascended from above. Jesus told Margaret Mary that he suffered greatly from unrequited love. In our own time, our Lord yearns for disciples who will lean against his breast and come to know him intimately as his special and chosen friends. Out of love for sinners, Christ sacrificed himself on the cross. And yet humanity has grown cold, indifferent, and hostile to him, filled with contempt for his love. It is for this reason, my friends, that never has devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus been needed more than today. In our own time, countless souls have lost faith in Jesus. Many have taken his love for granted, presumed upon his mercy, rejected his commands, and refused to believe in God. Today, our Lord invites us who believe in him to draw near to his heart. Will we join with Mary and John, with Gertrude and Margaret Mary, and resting at his side to experience and learn the secrets of his sacred heart? I invite you now to join with me in the beautiful prayer known as the Anima Christi. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within your wounds, hide me. Separated from you, never let me be. From the evil one, protect me. At the hour of my death, call me. And close to you, bid me, that with your saints, I may praise you forever and ever. Amen.